me once more after it was done welcome you. You are welcome. Amen. Tate Ngoma said he's one of those people who will be saying compliments to you even by March. So in the meantime, we will join him. Compliments to you. And let me repeat what we have said before. Whatever the resolutions you may have taken for the year, don't hope for an easy year. Don't hope for an easy year. When you keep trusting God and declaring an easy year, you are revealing also your weakness to the devil. You are revealing your inability to stand before what lies ahead. You are already conceding that the devil will defeat you. When you say, I want an easy year, you are saying, last year the devil beat me up so that this year I need a break from him. So you need a break from the devil if you want an easy year. So don't hope for an easy year because the battle is not getting easier. Trust God. Ask God. Ask for grace to be stronger and firmer in God. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. How now where it says, now relax.
There is no way the word says,
happy.
Amen.
So, true pastors don't care whether the congregation clap for them or not. Because they are not there to appease the consciences of the members. They are there to contend for the souls of the members. To ensure that the truth comes, it trains you, it rebukes you, it corrects you, it strengthens you, so that you conform to the likeness of Jesus and you can stand the schemes of the devil. You can stand and withstand. There are different efforts. The one effort of standing is to be stable. But the effort of withstanding is to oppose that which opposes you. Therefore, the devil will forever oppose you. You can't just say, I want to stand. No, you must be able to also withstand. As a matter of fact, Christians are called to wage war, not defend themselves against war. You are not called, the Bible says, when Jesus speaks in Matthew 16, he says, I will build my church and the gates of Hades or
hell
shall not prevail against it.
Now,
that's not a very complicated thing to understand. Because the people that are listening to Jesus are aware that cities those days were fortified.
Amen.
Neri awe like the Koboshia.
Amen. Neri pota poti.
So there was a big wall.
Honona lele botalele hulo.
And And a very big gate. You could not just open that gate. How many of you have seen those movies?
Amen.
They try very hard to open.
Why?
Because the gate is the entrance, the symbol of strength, victory, and defeat for that city. Are you following?
Amen.
If your gate stands, how was Jericho? The Bible says Jericho was what? Shut. How was Samaria?
Shut.
No one could get in or go out. So the gate was a symbol of strength that you cannot. When you try, the gate will prevail. Once the gate has been brought down, the city is taking.
Are you
following?
Amen.
Now listen to the logic of Jesus. And
the
gates of Hades shall not prevail, shall not stand against the onslaught of the church.
Amen. Amen.
Agathu Jesu.
Mrena Jesu hari.
Nizo manina nizvigele against Satan.
Letlo ema lona la itshireletsa gahlano le Satani.
No. The gates.
Di heke.
Are the ones.
Ke tsona.
That have to be concerned.
Tse tlameleng ho bona.
About your advancing.
Sure. Amen.
That is why the devil.
Ke ka mo Satani.
Will not attack you.
Akaso attack.
Based on your own apathy.
Ka matla a hao kapa bokgoni ba hao.
Yaba no mangabo uleng probe mzalwane o ngathandazi.
Haibaneng o mzalwane sa rapeleng.
The devil does not attack you based on your weaknesses only.
Satani ha tle ho wena ka bokuwa ba hao.
You have to understand what I'm saying.
Tlamela utlwisise seo ke se bolelang.
He will attack you at your point of weakness.
O tla o attacka ka seo o leng bokuwa ka sona.
But the premise from which he moves to attack you.
Empa ka tsela eo a tsamayang ka yona.
Is of the fact that you are given power over him.
You understand
what I
just said? Sure.
His reason, when he looks at you,
he
says, this is a child of God who has been given power and authority over me. The weapons of his or her warfare are not carnal. He or she has the power to speak those things that be not and they become. This is the one who has the anointing to cast me out. Therefore, I am not dealing with an infant. So in the meeting, in the demonic meeting, that's how the plenary for attacking you sounds like. They are not saying, we are going to attack some small Christians who are not praying. No, 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 no. They know. You have the name of Jesus. And they are aware that on a particular day, you might just surprise yourself and use the name of Jesus.
Sure.
They know you normally don't use it. They know you are not aware you are fully redeemed.
Sure.
Okay, let me give you an example. This is not even my preaching, right? We are talking about fasting today.
Amen.
How many of you remember when you were praying? And you started hearing voices? A few of you. Okay, let's get to the one that most of you understand. When you were sleeping, and you started, some of us have seen demonic figures.
As
dark silhouettes, you know that?
Amen.
Okay, we'll talk about when we talk about demons. But there are days where you have felt like something is strangling you.
It's
sitting on your chest. You can't breathe. And you are sleeping that time. And then there was a stirring within you to shout something. When they beat you in the street, who do you call? Your mom. Why didn't you call your mother this time? Who did you call? Why? When they beat you in the street, you call your mother. When something that you cannot comprehend, where its power comes from, how did it get into your room while the door is closed? This thing is not a person. But when it strangles you, you can feel the weight.
I
see, that day you surprised yourself. You didn't call your mother this time. You shouted Jesus. What happened? It disappeared. And you didn't thank Jesus. So demons are aware that one day you may surprise yourself and call on the name of Jesus or stand on the name of Jesus. So as far as they are concerned, to that effect you are unpredictable. But they also know you have habits of weaknesses.
Yeah. The weakness.
And they have decided.
That's
where. Even though we know she's powerful. But she's always leaving that door open. We will attack him or her. So the desire of a pastor. Is to help you close that door. So that when they think of how do we attack, they like, just attack him anyhow. We'll see which one works. They cannot say, that one we know. If you put a skirt, it's over. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Amen.
Anyway, we're talking about fasting. Fasting is not easy. And we will have to explore the reasons why fasting is not easy. Fasting goes hand in hand with prayer. You can imagine if prayer is difficult for most people. How difficult is fasting? You will have to ask yourself, why do people refuse to fast? So we're going to cover some few basics. Some of the things that we will say will come as a shock to some of us. You don't have to agree with me. You will have to find the truth for yourself in what we are saying. Something is not true just because the pastor says so, I've told you. It's true if the Bible says so and the Holy Spirit confirms it to you. So what we are going to try and do today, we are not going to cover a lot of stuff because we have a meeting. But what I want us to do is put us in a position where we can see the demise of not fasting, the disadvantage. And then we want to explore over the next 2 weeks.
Okay,
let's just say today and next week, because we cannot around. What's going to happen Let's look at what the New Testament says.
Ha re shebe Testament e ntse ho re ireng.
Let's look at what the Old Testament says.
Re shebe Testament ya kgale hore ireng.
Let's look at what we have said.
Re bone seo rona re se boletseng.
Are you there?
Amen.
So I've taken the liberty to give you some definitions of fasting.
Ke nkile nako hore ke gone hore na ke fumane dintho tse hlalosang.
Please put the definitions there. It is There are many definitions you can come up with. The most basic that I'm sure all of us understand is that fasting is abstinence from what? From food. For what reason? See, that's where the problem is always. The problem is always that our emphasis in defining the fast is not the end goal of it, is the deprivation thereof. Not what is the end goal? That's what makes fasting primarily difficult, because the very first thing people think is, I am going to not eat. Are you following?
Amen.
Now that's a weak way of viewing fasting. So don't even start by thinking, when I fast, I want not to eat. No, that's not what you want. The truth is, you like eating. You want to eat. As many times as you could eat, you would eat. To the extent that food is over-exaggerated, isn't it?
Amen.
Okay, I read clearly. That's another thing. We need to be able to say, why would I want to deprive myself something that I so much like? What is it that is worth the sacrifice? What is it that I desire so much that I'm even willing to forfeit something that I wake up every day to go and work for? People work for food, isn't it? You look at me like you don't. That's the primary thing you work for. A guy who does not have a house does not work for a house. Do you know Maslow's hierarchy of survival?
Amen.
What does he tell you? Does self-actualization come before survival? No. Food comes.
Dijo ditla pele.
Are you still there?
Amen.
Now,
Joale.
Where are they? What's happening at the back? So here's the thing. Let me just give them to you. Fasting is a deprivation.
Amen.
Fasting is denying yourself worldly pleasures, primarily food. Right?
Amen.
In order to pursue God, His attributes,
the attributes are high,
and His grace. And there's a reason why I'm giving you a definition like that. There are many other definitions I've put there.
The definition
Let's try
in
and unpack this one. I abstain, I deprive myself of food and all the other pleasures that the body likes. What do I want to do? What is this great thing I'm sacrificing for? Number one is God. Our idea of fasting is founded on the thinking that to fast, I must have a prayer item that is a crisis to me. I'm trying to bring you to an understanding. We'll see, we'll get into scripture now. That no.
Hore chehe.
The pursuit.
Holatela.
Is for the master.
Kea mudimu.
Then the pursuit.
Holatela.
Is for his attributes.
Kore di attributes a hai.
In other words.
Kamantu amangwe.
What makes God God?
If
God is gracious, I fast sometimes to seek his kindness in my situation. Is God the healer? Yes. I fast sometimes to seek him as a healer. I fast sometimes to seek him as a savior in a crisis. Are you following?
Amen.
Now, in other words, I look to God for the things that only God can provide. And therefore, I humble myself to seek those things for him. I ask God, I fast for the grace to be able to do what I naturally cannot do. Therefore, another thing I've given them is this definition. Fasting is you deciding to shift from natural provisions and pay attention to divine provisions for sustenance.
Amen.
Did you hear what I just said?
Amen.
Okay. Let's go to Matthew chapter 3. So we're going to try and get to this through these scriptures quickly. Jesus has just been baptized, right? Let's read verse 17. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Are you there?
17. Amen.
Verse 1 of chapter 4. So the Bible says the father is well pleased with his son. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. To what? To be
tempted,
tested by the devil. After 40 days and 40 nights, he was what? He was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Mm-hmm. Jesus answered, "It is written," what? "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." So now let's look at few things in this portion of scripture. Because later on, we will have to appreciate that Jesus is our model of everything.
Amen.
So now he goes, he fasts. He doesn't eat.
Haji.
Now the Bible says the reason he went. What does it say in your Bible? It says he was led to be what? To be tested, to be tempted. Now, why would he be tempted? Why would he be tested? Because he was brought to the very place of the greatest need of survival, food. The very basic need. Now, he gets tempted. The Bible reveals two things for us. Maybe three, maybe four. But let's look at these two. One. Fasting. In the context of Jesus. Reveals. Its ability to empower us, to grant us the grace to do supernaturally what we cannot do naturally. Those are the graces. And then, here's the part that I like. I don't know if some of you will appreciate this reality. Jesus says, So let's start with what the devil says to him. The devil says to him,
Satan,
you hungry, right? Now,
Joale.
I know how human beings operate. Human beings operate on the principle of self-preservation. Human beings always want to survive the discomfort.
Here's
the way out. Turn these stones into bread. Jesus tells us something about fasting right there.
He says, no,
it is written, man shall not live by bread alone.
Pause.
Bread, food is necessary for sustenance. But it is a natural provision for sustenance. And therefore, when human beings put their sense of survival in what is only naturally provided, when the demand for a higher engagement is made upon them, they fail. Why? Because their sustenance is natural. Now Jesus says, no, let me reveal to you, devil, this is how it works. Man lives, man thrives by
supernatural
provision. And that supernatural provision is every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.
Therefore,
fasting must be a manner in which a Christian opens himself for self to supernatural provision of sustenance.
Where
if stuff that you are used to
it's
not given. You can look into heaven.
Let me
give you another example. The Bible says the word of the law is medicine to your bones. But we do have medicine in the natural.
Medicine
is natural. We depend on it.
To
the extent that when there is no medicine, people die.
How's na medicine batho ba shwa?
But can I show you?
Empa ke kopa ho jwetsa ka jeno.
The book of Psalms says.
Buka ya dipesaleme ere.
He sent his word.
O rumetse lentso la hae.
And he healed their diseases.
A fodisa malwetse a bona.
In the wilderness.
Ho hlalosa ho le felleng.
There were sicknesses.
Mo ne bana le malwetse teng.
No doctors.
No sna dingaka.
There was no natural way.
No sna tsela e naturally.
Of navigating the situation. They had to dig into the grace of supernatural divine sustenance. And so fasting allows you
to
enter into that grace. You know, when you're fasting and you start having headaches, because there is a biology there.
There
is biochemistry happening there. We'll tell you about it. But let's just tell you all of your experiences. Now when you're fasting, and you feel drowsy now, you feel like, and then sometimes you start feeling shaky, and you become dry. What is your body doing? Your body is engaging the natural mechanisms of survival. The body is converting the fats, the lipids in your body. Your liver is starting to work. How many of you remember monosaccharides and disaccharides?
Amen.
Okay, some of you don't even know what we're talking about. Some of you are already learning it now, so we are giving you revision. Your body takes the fat and it turns it into sugar and it gives you energy. How many of you remember the villus in your stomach?
Amen.
Well, some of us did these things 30 years ago.
You
remember the villus?
Amen.
When you are doing digestion.
Amen.
And you start feeling like your stomach, something is... It's like as if something is moving in your stomach. Half the time. That's when you like, I call. Jesus will understand. Okay, let me confess my sins. I have done that in the past. Because my survival was more important to me than breaking into divine sustenance.
Amen.
So when you get the threshold,
how fasting
allows you to firstly say food. You are not my sustenance. Food will say no problem.
We'll
now you turn away from food. You are dealing with yourself. Now the flesh says you may not want to eat. That's your decision. But me, I want food. And if you don't give me food, I will eat myself. That's what, biologically, that's what it means. You know, when your body eats itself.
Amen.
Okay, if you don't believe me, ask the health professionals here. They'll tell you what I'm telling you. The body will start
eating it,
and you start feeling all these things. Is it time to give up?
No.
So you won the first one. You turned against food. Now you are fighting. You have to defeat this one. So that now you can turn to divine sustenance. It's those days when you fast and the only thing you feel like doing now is sleep. You know when you have slept because you fast in 3 days.
Dry
or wet, we'll come to that later.
Amen.
I woke up.
You can feel your body as well.
I still have 17 hours. But this sounds, feels like death. You can't lift your. Shortly, when you have defeated that desire,
house
of
desire,
idolatry,
yeah, idolatry,
to make yourself and end goal. Because when you are fasting, another definition is to say, fasting is a way of declaring who is God between your stomach and the Lord Jesus.
Between Malaha and the
Bible says, some people, their God is their stomach. Your stomach will tell you, we are not praying. Their God is what? Okay, let's just unpack that. A God
Mudimu
is an entity to which you bring your devotion and your affection and your commitment and your sacrifice. So when it says their God is their stomach,
it says
they will do anything to serve, to devote, to commit, to sacrifice in order that their stomach has something. So your stomach will tell you. I don't care whether you don't watch TV. You can fast TV if you want. You can fast Netflix if you want. You can fast your friends if you want. But today,
we do not get to the third one.
We don't get to the third one. Today is 2.5. We are eating. And sometimes when the stomach tells you, it's just 2 hours away. You don't know that feeling. You don't know it. You like, what can I do with myself right now to rush these 2 hours so that I can You see, that goal, Bazalwane, is an ungodly goal. Because what you are aiming for still proves your idolatry. You are not saying at the end of this fast, in the next 2 hours, may the Lord uproot anger in my heart. May He uproot selfishness. May He uproot the pride and the arrogance. May at the end of these 2 hours, may my hands be lifted up. May I declare that you are the true sustainer. I didn't think I can make the 2 hours. No, it's 2 hours. I want to eat. Are you there?
Amen.
Okay. I have overlabored that. But let me just pass from there. Let's just do a systematic thing quickly. We are still in the New Testament. It doesn't look like next week we will be in the Old Testament by the look of things. So, here's the thing that I want us to do. I want us to use the book of Matthew to try and understand fasting and then the applications. So let's go to the book of Matthew. We're in chapter 3. Let's go to chapter 5 quickly. We are just setting up something. Chapter 5, I'm reading verse 1. Now when Jesus saw the crowd, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach, right? So what I want you to see here, the Bible says everything we are going to hear is Jesus teaching his disciples. On Wednesday, we clarified, Jesus' disciples were not 12. Please stop saying that. Jesus' apostles were 12. His disciples were not 12. He chose the 12 from the many disciples he had. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Amen.
Go and read Luke chapter 6. Chapter
Luke 6 chapter
and
6.
Mark chapter 3. They will tell you that. So, he's still talking to these people. Verse
16
of chapter 6. Agree? It's like this sitting, Jesus is talking.
The
12 are around him.
Now
he says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do. So he says, when you fast, meaning you will be expected to fast. He's talking to his disciples. He says, when you fast. So, there cannot be a question of whether Christians should fast or not. Jesus says, when you what? When you fast, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Let's go to chapter 9. Are you there?
Amen.
Chapter 9, we're reading verse 14. Then John's disciples came and asked him, how is it that we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? Who sees what has just happened? Remember, we are reading step by step, right?
Amen.
Didn't he just, where we read, he taught them when you fast. Now when you read in, please go and read them for yourself. This Matthew 9 and Mark chapter 2. They come to Jesus. They say, the disciples of John and the Pharisees are fasting.
Ba itimile dijo.
How come yours don't fast?
Ba hao ha ba itimile
dijo. Now it comes as a weird thing.
Itla jale ka
ntsa tsale hela. Elia said to them.
O itse ho bona
pele. When you fast.
Ha le itima dijo.
But in this context.
Impa demanding ena.
People are offended by them not fasting.
But ba offended ka o sa itimile dijo.
And as a matter of fact, it seems
e bona hala e kare.
They didn't fast.
Ha ba itima dijo.
To the point that other people were no, wait.
Ho fihlela mona ba re
fasting is a spiritual thing.
Ho fasta ke ho itima dijo.
Fasting
ho itima dijo
in the Old Testament, because remember these people that are asking these questions.
But ba botsa dipotso tsena.
Are Old Testament people.
Ke batho ba Testament ya kgale.
Now in the Old Testament.
Jele Testament ya kgale.
They were supposed to fast. Israel was supposed to fast.
Israel ne itlamela ho itima dijo.
On the Day of Atonement.
Amen.
And they were supposed to fast on certain days. Over time, they added fasts. They started celebrating the fasting of Esther and so on and so forth. We'll talk about those. So these guys have made fasting a thing of being pious. My brother, how are you? Okay, let's put it this way. Brother types. Sorry, my brother. I'm fasting. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord is good. What is the Lord saying to you,
my brother?
They made it an outward thing than an inward thing. So now they are fasting. The point I want you to understand is Jesus' disciples are not fighting, are fasting.
Well,
they were not fighting, but they are not fasting. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Amen.
Other people are what?
Fasting.
Bona they are not
fasting.
Then Jesus answers the question this way. How can the guests of the bridegroom, who's the bridegroom, fast whilst he's with them? And then he says, they will fast when he is gone. Hey, Bazalan. He's basically saying, these guys are not going to fast until I'm gone. My idea was that they always fast.
And
then he explains, he says, no one takes a new cloth and sews it to the old one. No one takes a new wine and put it in an old wineskin. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, do not take that which is from the Old Testament approach and attach it to what I want to do with the church going forward. Now he says, when I'm gone, they will fast. Then I ask the question, for what? What were people fasting for? From there, we can learn something. Jesus tells you what I've already told you. He says, the presence of
the bridegroom
makes fasting unnecessary.
When
he's gone, the seeking of the bridegroom will make fasting necessary.
Itla etsa fasting hore e be necessary.
They will fast.
Batla itima dijo.
In yearning and moaning and desiring the presence of the bridegroom.
Amen.
They will say,
Batlari,
if Jesus does not become my satisfaction, I have a yearning and a hunger that food cannot satisfy. That yearning is for my master to be with me. I want to be in his presence. Therefore, when we fast, we don't just fast
Haritimidi jo fela.
We say, oh my lover, my bridegroom. Oh Jesus, the love of my soul. And in the morning I rise. I yearn for you. As the deer pants for the water brooks. Are you there?
Amen.
Next week we'll explore the idea that they fast. That fasting. When you look in the Old Testament and the Old,
was
a maternity ward.
Maternity ward.
For vocations, for callings.
For
people
calling.
Had fasted as they were released into ministry.
But we never fasted or by the ministry.
But also we will look into this.
As well.
He had taught them how to pray. They said, teach us how to pray. But when we get to Matthew 17, after the Mount of Transfiguration, they could not cast out a demon. And they asked him why.
He says,
because of your unbelief. But he says, this kind. Another guy I saw, he tried to say, when Jesus was saying this kind, he was talking about the kind of faith. I don't believe that. I believe what the context says. The context was not talking about, it was about the inability to cast this. So he says, these ones do not come out. Right? Except by
fasting.
Let's stand up. Let me ask you a question as we. If Jesus says this kind does not come out. Next week we will explore this idea. When you read the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Remember when you get to verse 10.
Amen.
Finally be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand the schemes of the evil one. For our wrestle is not against flesh and blood. Against what? Against principalities. Against authorities, against powers, against spiritual forces in the heavenly places. Now, that already tells you there is a hierarchy in the kingdom of darkness. Therefore, Jesus is simply saying, you this time have met a different level in the hierarchy.
Amen.
Just like in the book of Daniel,
the
prince of Persia was not the kind of demon you cast out of a person. No, it's not the demon that comes and sits in a person. It's a demon that rules cities.
That demon is busy with serious stuff. It runs the government.
But there are ones that enter people. And they are stubborn.
They come in a hierarchy.
So let me ask you a question. When you are not fasting, how do you know which one you are going to meet? How do you know which one is operating in the matter you are struggling with right now? How do you know the sickness? Is the devil binding you? How do you know that the struggle in your marriage is that force, demonic force? How do you know that addiction you are struggling with is the kind that does not come out by prayer, but by prayer and fasting? What I'm saying is true, you will never have victory in other areas until you decide this time it will come out by prayer and fasting.